gosh, that theme song could only mean one thing. Holy hell. Jesus Christ on a stick. Savior on a stick. Oh, what the? It's Tommy Mac and Bart Cop together again. Live from Los Angeles, this is Tommy Mac.
I'm sorry, you were who?
Well, you know.
It's been a while.
I'm glad you forgot about me after all this time. I mean, you didn't send me flowers. You didn't send me chocolates. You only gave me herpes.
I heard you're in the hospital with Broke Dick Syndrome.
Well, you know, that's the sequel to Brokeback Mountain, is Broke Dick Syndrome.
So how you been? It's been a long time.
It has been a long time. I'm a little scattered right now because I'm hungover horribly.
Not you.
Yes, but not from what you think. I didn't drink that much last night. I drank this morning.
Excellent.
That's right. I got up at 6 a.m. and I started with a beer and then went straight to vodka.
And you already had a chance to sleep it off and wake back up.
No, we'll get to that. But I'm surprised you're not asking me, Tommy, why are you drinking at 6 a.m. on a Saturday?
Because you're married to Tally?
I'm not married to Tally, but thanks for asking. No, because I got up to watch England beat the snot out of Paraguay in the World Cup. That's right, the short pants game that you hate.
Oh, the World Cup's going on. I saw a thing on CNN. They're rioting and stuff.
There's no rioting. It's good to know that you're upholding the high intellectual standards of Oklahomans everywhere.
I am the smartest man in Oklahoma. We've established that time and again.
Yes, because everyone else has an IQ of 63. No, really, the World Cup. It is the biggest thing ever. I mean, just the opening game had 1.5 billion people watching it. That's more than the Super Bowl could even assume to make.
Did it also end in a 0-0 tie?
4-2.
Excellent.
So suck on that, Okie.
Don't know if you read the BartCop.com, but a couple of weeks ago we had a little series on, in England, they ran pictures of the, whatever, the sexiest footballers' wives, and those footballers, I'll tell you, if you're a soccer boy in England, them girls apparently fall on your arm.
Well, considering that the soccer players have to run for 90 minutes, no breaks, no rest, no nothing, you just run. They have 0% body fat. But for some reason, 50% of all soccer players have mullets. Can't figure it out. I think Europeans and South Americans are single-handedly keeping the mullet alive as well as Alabama. So, viva la mullet, viva soccer, viva United States.
Why, if I could say one more thing about that. The other day I saw a rugby game on TV. I mistook it for soccer for a minute, but then I noticed it was exciting, so I knew it wasn't soccer.
Oh, who's a bastard? Oh, that's right, you're a bastard.
It seemed to be such a manly sport. They all put their arms around each other, and they were hugging pretty much the whole game. 8 or 10, 12 men get in a pile, and they all hug.
No, that's not manly. That's gay. And I'm not talking about the cool kind of gay, you know, man-on-man action gay, but the bad kind of gay.
Oh, I see. The good and bad kind.
No, rugby's great. You know, my father used to play it, and, you know, he had a shirt that says, give blood, play rugby. So it is a manly sport.
Excellent.
Americans wouldn't know anything about it because we're pretty narrow-minded about our sport.
Too sophisticated, those Americans.
That's right. Speaking of World Cup,
yeah.
Of the 32 nations over in Germany right now, ours is the only bus that doesn't have our flag on it. German authorities and United States soccer agreed for security reasons the United States shouldn't put the American flag on the soccer player's bus. And now, how much does your country have to screw up to make the world hate you that much where your soccer team can't put the goddamn flag on your bus? How much do we suck, Bart? Huh?
Well, you know, more than that, if you're a terrorist, say, with a bazooka on top of a hill, which bus are you going to aim for? It doesn't have an American flag on it. How will you know which bus is the Americans?
You know what? Especially because it could have been so easy. We just are going to put a Canadian flag on it. There you go. Problem solved. Anyway, what's been going on with you, Bart?
Well, there's a couple of things I wanted to ask you about.
Go for it.
One is the Dixie Chicks.
Well, it's funny because, you know what? God bless the Dixie Chicks. And I'm an atheist, so God bless them anyway. And I tell all the readers out there, these women are not whores like other entertainers are. These women are standing up. They're doing what's right. And you know what? Even if you like them or not, their music-wise, go download one of their songs from iTunes. Support them. They're not getting play on Red State Radio. Country stations are boycotting them. Even, yeah, their album still debuted in the top 10, which is great. But you know what? let's show support for artists who will stand up to Bush. Download one of their songs from iTunes. You know what? You just may like it.
Yeah, I got an idea for the Dixie Chicks. Why don't they go in the studio and record another album under a different name and say, oh, Bush is the greatest, Bush is God, Bush rules, Bush can do no wrong, Bush is the great warrior fighter, he's so brave, he's so wise. They'll sell 8, 10 million records.
And you know what they should call themselves for doing that album?
What?
Chixie Dicks.
You good. But hey, I have a bone to pick, not with the Chicks, but with their management. Have you heard what happened?
No.
The idiots. Now, come on, I'm smarter than this. You would think the Dixie Chicks would have smarter management than old Bart. But what they did, they booked a shitload of venues in throughout the Midwest, you know, St. Louis and Omaha, Memphis kind of thing. And now they've had to cancel them because of slow ticket sales. Now, that is idiocy. That's not how you do it. The way you do it, if you got a, you know, an act that may or may not be selling a lot of tickets this time, you book them into all these little 1,000-seat theaters. And then when they sell 2,000 tickets, you issue a press release that says, whoa, due the overwhelming demand, we're having to move to bigger venues because, oh, my God, we had no idea. The lines are so long. There's so many people. And people think, wow, everybody's going to Dixie Chicks. I ought to get me a ticket to that. But no, they did the opposite. They booked them in these giant things, you know, 12, 15,000 people. They sell 4, 5, 6,000 tickets, and then they cancel the show for bad ticket sales. Idiots, that's not how you do
I'm
it.
I'm totally with you. They should have done that, but you know what? We're being armchair managers, I guess, you know? What you going to do?
True, but I'm just saying, knowing that there was a possibility that the backlash would still be in effect. You know, something else, I read the article about that, and they're saying how, oh, the... You know, the people are boycotting them. Well, no, if the radio stations aren't playing the album, you know, it's not the people. I mean, it may be the people boycotting them, but...
It's Clear Channel.
Yeah, if Clear Channel and Sinclair and those other people, if they're refusing to play the album, maybe they don't even know. Oh, as a matter of fact, there's a Dixie Chicks song on this show. They were on Letterman, and Letterman gave him a big-ass welcome back. You guys rock. I'm with you.
Good for Letterman. He's always known the right from wrong.
Well, not sure that's true, but lately he's come to hate the Bush, so he's a better ally than Leno. He's funnier than Leno, too.
Yes, that's true. So, I know you mentioned it in your page, but that huge story that Robert F. Kennedy wrote in Rolling Stone about the stolen 2004 election, did you actually get to read the whole article?
Oh, no, I saw it on the cover.
It is groundbreakingly accurate. I mean, it tells it straight out in mathematical terms how impossible it was for Bush to win Ohio and how he stole it. And so I can't wait to see how the monkeys try to spin this. I mean, it's there in black and white. Now, as you know, a lot of people are a little upset about the whole electronic voting thing. And ironically, some people are saying, oh, hey, you know, we don't need a paper trail because that just causes more problems. Well, what I like to do to my conservative friends is use one of the greatest lines that Reagan ever said. Because when you use a Republican president's words against conservatives,
pisses them off.
It causes their heads to explode. It causes their lymph nodes to expand. It causes their balls to finally drop. Now, what is the great quote? Trust. But verify. Remember that.
I might have one better.
Go for it.
If the Democrats had any brains, and should I even bother to finish this sentence, but if they had some brains, they would put together a group, you know, maybe, I mean, but make up a group. Get 50 people that aren't nationally known and have them form a group, registered voters for Bush, and have them file a big complaint somewhere, have them get on Larry King and throw a big fit. We think those machines are screwing our godly Bush. I'm not sure that the president is getting every vote that has been cast for him, so I think we should have a paper trail so to be sure that every vote for George W. Bush is counted, because it's important in a close election that every Bush vote be counted. And throw a big, say that's what Karl Rove would do. He would go over to the other side and start screaming. And every time when Rove does that, we fall for it. That's why Dan Rather's not on the news anymore. That's why the monkey boy got a pass on deserting during wartime.
Yeah, you're right.
Because we took the bait. Hook, line, and sinker, like we always do. Yeah, I'll tell you what the Democratic Party is. The Democratic Party is a fat guy, about 60 years old, bald. He's got a big old crooked giant nose. He's got a scar down his cheek. And he's sitting there drinking by himself in some dingy bar. And in comes a $1,000 hooker. Most beautiful girl you ever saw sits down next to him and says, hey, handsome, how you doing? And because they're Democrats, they don't suspect a thing. They think it's their damn lucky day, but no. The $1,000 hooker kisses a guy once, passes him the knockout pills, goes through his wallet. Oh, have you heard? I saw this on him. On a Law and Order, this real pretty girl walks up to a guy in a bar.
Dun, 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 dun. Sorry, I thought you were doing a blues song.
Yeah, but this pretty girl walks up to a guy in a bar, kisses him, says, "Let's go back to your place," and then she kisses him with the knockout juice. He goes to sleep. Then she calls her crew. The crew comes in, gets the plasma TV, gets the stereo, gets the art, gets the paintings off the wall. I mean, just wipes the guy out. Of course, he's married, and his wife's out of town. Like I say, this is all set up ahead of time. So they wipe the guy out. He wakes up. He can't even call the cops. Nearly perfect crime.
That's what happened to me last Saturday. Damn.
But we got sidetracked. I'm sorry.
As shit happens, you know.
Let me ask you about this. What do you know about this Da Vinci Code that has got all these Christians' panties bunched up?
It was a great, great book. It's a page-turner. It's a thriller. It's not a historical document. But you know what? If someone wants to argue the fallacies of the Da Vinci Code, they're opening up a whole can of worms into usually what they consider word, you know, the Bible, which you can't take the Bible straight up. Which reminds me, you know, right now, the government is trying to do this whole, hey, you know, we need an amendment to stop gay people from marrying each other. And what they always say, even Bush said, in the eyes of God, marriage is based between a man and a woman. And then they say, it's all because of Leviticus 18:22. It clearly states it to be an abomination. Well, you know what? Leviticus 25:44 states that I may possess slaves, both male and female, provided they are purchased from neighboring nations. Now, I don't know. Maybe I could get some from Mexico, but I don't think the Canadians want me to make them their slaves. Or, you know, I can't have a contact with a woman while she was in her period of menstrual uncleanliness. That's Leviticus 19:24. So if people want to bring up the Bible and say, this is the way it is, therefore I have to legislate it, fuck them. You know, a friend of mine feels that even though eating shellfish is an abomination, like Leviticus 11:10, is it lesser an abomination than homosexuality?
I say no, or yes. Which one?
I don't even... That's just it. It's ludicrous. It is completely ludicrous for anyone to use the Bible to make laws like that.
You know, if the Democrats knew how to argue, and should I bother to finish that sentence, you know, it would be so easy to, for someone, say, Boxer, no, Boxer wouldn't do it, Feinstein might do it, have her get on the Senate floor and, with the straightest face she can, propose a constitutional amendment to make it, to ban cursing grandma. We want to make it a constitutional amendment that you can't tell grandma to FY. And anyone who gets in my way, anyone who votes against me, anyone who argues with me is for telling grandma to FY. And as long as we have them on the record as being pro telling grandma to FY, how could they ever win another election?
Well, you know what? Take that a step further. Isn't there a commandment about respect your father or parents or something like that?
Yes.
So therefore, according to God, and therefore, according to the United States, you should never ever talk back or swear to your parents. If you do, you can go to jail. And I'm for that amendment. Damn it.
You know, I'll tell you what we really need, what would solve everything, what would nip it in the bud, as Barney Fife would say. Constitutional amendment banning divorce. Bingo. Talk about protecting marriage. If you want to protect marriage, ban divorce. Or if you get divorced, you do 2 years hard labor. And then you can marry your secretary, you know, starting the third year.
That
would protect marriage. That would actually physically protect marriage. But this stuff, I got an email from this hand job lady today, and talk about how, you know, we can't let gays marry because it threatens her marriage. And I said, oh, please. And then she said, why can't they just be satisfied with a civil union? And I said, well, it sounds a whole lot like, you know, 50 years ago.
Separate but equal.
Yeah, but it's, you know, like 50 years ago, it's, why, you know, these Negroes always want to come through the front door of the restaurant. Why can't they be satisfied with coming in the back door of the restaurant, you know?
Exactly. No matter what, it is bigotry, it's racism, it's whatever you want to call it. Look, I'm not gay, but I play one on TV. Bottom line is, my sex life is very important to me, and it has nothing to do with you. And even if it wasn't just sex, the way I want to raise a family, as long as it doesn't harm anyone else, that's my business, not yours.
You know, before he turned Nazi whore, I used to like Dennis Miller, and one of the things he used to say before he turned Nazi whore, he used to say, you know, my orgasm is one of the most important things in the world to me, but my orgasm should be one of the least important things in the world to you.
Absolutely. He was referring to Clinton, believe it or not.
Now, how does a guy with that kind of clarity turn Nazi whore? You know, the poor bastard, he bet his career on George W. Bush.
He's just completely lazy.
Poor bastard.
Completely lazy. When you get lazy, you turn conservative. bottom line.
I wonder if he made so much money he had to turn conservative, because you know how hard it is to make it on $4 or $5 million a year.
You know, I tried. I failed. I mean, just too many Maseratis and cocaine.
You'd rather be broke working at a McDonald's than to pay those high taxes, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, it's something we've said on the page for years. A guy works at a hardware store, he doesn't complain about taxes. You know, a painter, he doesn't worry about taxes. A guy, you know, that repairs, you know, cars, he doesn't bitch about taxes. But Rush Limbaugh, Tim Russert, you know, all these people that are making $20-30 million a year, they're pissed about taxes, and they're goddamn tired of paying all that money.
What's amazing is that two of the major tax cuts that's really hitting us pretty good right now, the estate tax and dividend tax, capital gains tax, these are taxes that only affect rich people. But whether you like it or not, they don't affect you normal Americans, okay? Unless you're going to inherit a few $1 million, it's not going to affect you. Unless you've got lots of stocks. Now, unfortunately, I was unemployed for a while. I had to cash out what little 401k I had. I've got no stocks and bonds. I am not part of the investor class. There are more of me in America than there are of those who have stocks, okay? And you know what? That tax cut did nothing for me.
I know what you mean, brother.
Nothing. You know what's really interesting? Recently, we had a primary election here in California, and hopefully we have a great governor candidate to go against the governator. His name's Phil Angelides. He's a decent man. I think he'll be our next governor. Thank God. I mean,
really?
The day after Schwarzenegger was elected, I mean, I think most of California woke up with a hangover going, oh, man, that was fun. We did what? Damn. Anyway, where was I? Oh, I had a chance to go through some websites here in California, actually, you know, electioncalifornia.gov or something like that, and I was blown away by how many districts, and I'm talking congressional, U.S. congressional districts, that are unopposed.
Really?
There's a Republican incumbent, and there's not a Democrat running at all.
That's a mistake. I would love to be the only guy in the county or whatever in the district that was willing to run against the sumbitch. Think what a great, if I'm going to lose the race anyway, think what a great debate would be.
That's just my point right there. And I bet if your listeners right here, there's some of them that live in very solid Republican districts that may not have someone to run. And if that's you, if you're in that district, find out if there's a Democrat running. And if there's not, damn it, sign up. And I'll tell you why. Yes, you're going to lose. But you get to do some damage. You get
knowing that you're going to lose in advance gives you a whole lot of freedom.
Yes. You get to just throw as much mud as you want. Technically, you are now on the national stage. If it's a better district where they may have like public access, you may have debates on radio and stuff like that. Or you get to be in the paper. Bottom line is, you gotta run. Check to see who's running in your district. You'd be surprised at how many districts in this country are unimposed. You know, there's a Republican there, and there's no Democrat. Well, I'm telling you, Bart Cobb listeners, if you are there, go sign up now. And you know what? Bart, what if we helped them? What if we found a few people, Bart Cobb people, who decided to run? Wouldn't we want to, you know, throw them a few $100 to take an ad out or two?
Not sure about the $100, but we could damn sure put their name on the page and encourage other people in their district to vote for them and maybe try to get a little snowballing effect going.
I'm down for anything.
You know, as a matter of fact, I could help them with debate prep. I remember a great line from Ghostbusters 1. What you do, you challenge the Republican to a debate, and the Republican gets up there and he goes on and on about, you know, the English language and immigration and all that. When he gets done, you say, well, you just feel that way because you have no dick.
I like it. I love that. That's exactly.
And the poor bastard, he's going to turn all kinds of shades of purple, and then you just stand there and laugh at him. And
ironically, I used that recently when I got a parking ticket. Didn't work out for me very well.
Were the cuffs tight?
Yeah, I'm telling you. I thought I was in a Hollywood bondage movie.
I heard you liked it tight.
Yeah. Don't we all? Isn't that the German word for virgin? Guten tight? Oh, speaking of getting reamed, these gas prices. How are they there in Oklahoma for
just
you?
Just under three. They're $2.89, something like that.
See, here in California, I think we're averaging about $3.40 something. And a while back, I thought, hey, you know, my car's paid off, and it's a 94. I can't afford to get a new one. Let's buy a scooter. And that's what I did. I bought a Vespa type thing, you know?
Because it gets. What kind of mileage you get on your Vespa?
45 miles per gallon.
I would have thought you'd get more.
Yeah, well, you know, I weigh 190 pounds. So.
Oh, yeah.
But the funny thing is, I love it. I go to work. It's only 5 miles away, and, you know, it does 40 miles an hour. It gets 45 miles per gallon. But I want to tell you, I look really astoundingly gay riding it.
What happens when you pull up at a stoplight and one of those badass Harleys sit next to you and the guy winks at you? You know, big old biker got a beard and a long flowing hair and stuff, and he looks over at you on your Vespa. Does he wink at you and rev his engine a couple times? Act like, let's race?
Bart, you have very strange fantasies here.
Well, you know, I'm not so worried about gas prices. You know why?
Because you work at home, you dick.
I work at the house.
Okay, any other way to, like, make a little jab there to the rest of us working stiffs throughout the country that have to commute a bit?
Well, I do feel badly about that, but what you could do is start your own.com and do a new issue every day for 5 years, and on the beginning of the sixth year, accept contributions.
You know, I'll start tomorrow. But you know what, Bart? It's just about that time when we better give the listeners a break. But I tell you what, man, we cannot let it go so long between us doing this.
Oh, I like this music. That's good.
I'm telling you, it's good music because I don't get to play it often because I'm not on your show as much. By the way, that last show you did, I didn't work on it at all, but it still sounded pretty good. You're actually turning into quite the audio engineer.
Oh, go on.
You're right, it sucked. Anyway.
I'm no Tommy Mac.
I know. Stroke my ego. Anyway, hey. Everyone out there in Bardcop land, this is Tommy Mac in Los Angeles.
And Bard in K-Drag, where it's 100 degrees, but boy, the corn will rock.
And we'll see you in the next show. Take it easy, be safe, be a Democrat.
That's right.
Kids, my wish for today, the November midterms, and in 08, is simple. I want someone, anyone, even if it's one person who is running and will see some airtime, to step up to the plate and stop being nice. And to say what 75% of America and 95% of the planet wants to hear, that the first thing they'd do is impeach the entire administration, prosecute them all for not only war crimes, but needless spying on U.S. citizens and all the other endless criminal activity that has been going on since December 12, 2000, when the Supreme Court illegally appointed the president and the rest of the neocon mafia. Sure, it would be nice if it was all the Democrats, or even better still, every Republican with a shred of integrity. They all need to say it. Why vote Democrat? Because the Republicans have proven why a one-party system doesn't work. I am so tired of the likes of Nancy Pelosi playing nice and speaking in political tongues with her bullshit of impeachment not being on the table. Well, you know what, Nancy? Fuck you. Someone, anyone, please grow a spine. I want to hear you're going to fight. I want to hear that flag burning is a symbol of freedom that our forefathers fought and died for. That kind of freedom, not a distraction. And you know what? It's an awesome freedom. You don't have to agree with it, but so what? I want to hear someone say that for thousands of years, marriage was never between a man and a woman, but between two estates, two countries, or two families, and was all about money, never about love, until little over a century ago. Before that, it was largely limited to fiction like Austen, Shakespeare, and Dickens. I want to hear that all presidential records are going to be opened, that no one, not even the president, is above the law because this is not a monarchy. that Cheney will see prison if he doesn't cough up the notes on his secret energy meetings, and certainly has no immunity if he does. I want to hear that the American people will get their money back from Enron and the energy companies who are making record profits because their operating costs haven't gone up, just the price of gas has. I want to hear that the energy companies will be taxed heavily if they don't spend every research and development cent they have on alternative energy so we can get off the Middle East oil tit. I want to hear that deregulation doesn't work, and corporations have proven that they can not only not be trusted to do the right thing with our health, safety, and the public trust, but also can't even be trusted not to lie, cheat, and steal away everyone's last dime and not pay their fair share in taxes. I want someone to say that any CEO making more than 100% above their lowest paid worker is obscene. That everyone deserves as good a health care plan as everyone working in Congress. I want the fairness doctrine back and someone to demand the breakup of the media conglomerates. That not only should the government work for the public good, but so should the fucking press. But most of all, I want to hear that our election process is the cornerstone of our democracy. I want to hear that they believe it should be illegal for anyone who has had any hand on any part of any election, like a Secretary of State, to be on any candidate's election committee or be able to work in any way for any candidate at any time. I want to hear that counting votes by hand on paper ballots with public oversight is the only way to get a fair vote, and that without free and fair elections where everyone gets the right to cast their ballot, democracy is dead. And anyone who commits any sort of election fraud, including refusing to do a court-ordered recount or throwing away ballots or registration forms or illegally shutting down public access to a vote count with a bogus claim that there was a terror threat, in which case, if that really is true, you stop, get some police posted, and proceed with the count, but not in secret. Or purges innocent people from the voter rolls, or moves a polling place without informing the precinct, or making people stand in line to vote for over 10 hours because there was an intentional lack of resources, or refusing to provide provisional ballots when it's the law, should not only be in prison, but never be allowed to run for governor. I want someone, anyone, to stand up and promise to take our country back. That's all for this week. I'm Tally, and this has been La Perspective Femme.
You are listening to Bart Cop Radio at BartCop.com.
Well, there you had it. Bart Cop Radio, show 94 in the can. All I can do now is get to work on show 95. You know, I also had this idea. I think for show number 100, I might shut the page down for a week and just do a really good show. You know, everything you've ever heard of Bart Cop Radio has been a one-take deal. All I can do is sit down, bark into the microphone for a couple hours or for many hours, and then go back and try to cut out whatever mistakes I can find. And what you've heard is the result. But what if I wrote something? What if I sat down and practiced it? What if I did something 3-4 times? What if I had some run-throughs? By the time I get to the 5th or 6th version of it, it might be pretty good. I might be able to punch up the bad parts, and it might turn out pretty good. We don't know. But I got half a mind to do that for show number 100. So if you got any feedback on that, you let me know. Also, want to remind you, we have a bunch of Worst President Ever t-shirts still available. And in a unique marketing move, we plan to drop the price. Currently, they're $21. What we're going to do is we're going to sell them for $20 plus shipping and handling. So what a deal for the people. BartCop.com with the lower prices. Trying to get as many of the Worst President Ever t-shirts around the world as we can. You know, it's funny. We got a couple of requests from people saying, dude, I'm going to Europe next week. Can you put a rush on my shirt? So I'm expecting we get some orders from here. Can you imagine what it'd be like to be wearing a Worst President Ever shirt in France or England, and someone say, "Oh, where can I get one of those?" And it said, "Hey, right there on the shirt, barcup.com." So you people in funny countries, if you want a really nice shirt that make you the hit of all your friends, it's not $21, it's only $20 now, plus shipping and handling. So check the for the new lower price on the page. My name is Bart. I'm going to get back to work. I'm going to put show 95 together, maybe put another page together for tomorrow. I'd like to thank the people who sent the occasional cards and letters. People send the occasional check in the mail. Sometimes they drop something in the tip jar on the page. That's real cool. It keeps me from working. Okay, this is Bart. I'm out of here. See you next show.